Please turn your Bible to the book of James, chapter 2, verse 14 to 26. Today we are going to study this text together. James, chapter 2, verse 14 to 26. As Christians, we all have this saving faith in God. And we all know that the crucial role of this saving faith in our lives. So this saving faith is emphasized almost everywhere, right? In the scripture, in our sermons, in many books, and in our daily lives. However, emphasizing this saving faith can sometimes lead to overlook the importance of works. And when it goes beyond the biblical definition of true saving faith, it may cause people to neglect works totally. For example, you may meet such a person. When you ask him if he believes in Jesus, he will tell you definitely yes. But when you ask him whether he goes to a church, he will tell you no, he does not go to a church, and takes it as unnecessary. As long as he believes in Jesus in his heart, he is good and he will be saved. But from scripture we know that this is not a true saving faith. This false saving faith is not only common in our generation, but has been there since the early church. In today's text from the book of James, we will see that in James' time, some people in the church believe that works can be separated from saving faith, and faith alone apart from works was sufficient for salvation. In confronting this wrong view, James emphasizes the importance of works to saving faith in this text. By doing so, James shows us that works are essential to saving faith, and true saving faith will inevitably manifest through works. So today, may James' teaching deepen our understanding of the true biblical saving faith and help us to hold it fast. I'm going to read this text, the first four verses of this text in both English and Chinese. Please listen to God's own word. James chapter 2, verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. In Chinese, 我的弟兄们, 若有人说自己有信心却没有行为, 有什么益处呢? 这信心能救他吗? 若是弟兄或是姐妹赤身露体, 又缺了日用的饮食, 你们中间有人对他们说, 平平安安地去吧, 愿你们穿得暖, 吃得饱, 却不给他们身体所需用的, 这有什么益处呢? 这样信心若没有行为, 就是死的。 May God bless the preaching of his own holy word. So I'm going to divide this text into three parts. The first part is verse 14 to 17. It tells us that works bring life to faith. The second part is verse 18 to 19. It tells us that works cannot be separated from faith. And the third part is verse 20 to 26. It tells us that works produced by faith bring justification. Let's start from the first part. Works bring life to faith. So in verse 14, Sam said, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? In this verse, James pointed out a false view of salvation among the church at that time. Those holding this view believe that believers could be saved by faith alone, without a need to show any corresponding works. In today's terms, these individuals believe that simply believing Jesus in their hearts could bring them salvation, without the need to live according to the teachings of Jesus. But James does not agree with this kind of view. He denied such a faith with this rhetorical question: can that faith save him? No, it cannot save. It is a false faith. In order to help them see more clearly about this false faith, James gave an example in verse 15. He said that if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and filled," without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So in this verse, the word peace is a common use for well-being and blessedness that God gives those who walk with him. So people who said, "Go in peace, be warmed and filled here," would only express a well-wishing prayer, but give nothing to those in need. This is no good at all. Those people's needs are not met. They were still in hunger and poorly clothed. And it was not only no good at their present time, but also no good in the final judgment. So in the final judgment, when Jesus gave the reason why some people will go into eternal punishment, he said this: "For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, you did not visit me." And those unrighteous people asked Jesus, "When did they not do these things to him?" Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of least of these, you did not do it to me." Here, through Jesus' judgment, we see more clearly about the false faith of those who say, "He has faith, but does not have works." So faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. In other words, works bring life to faith. This is also in accordance with our experience, right? No matter how many good ideas we may have, if we do not put them into action, nothing will be gained. Brothers and sisters, as we just entered into this new year of 2024, we may have many New Year's resolutions. We may have asked many good things from the Lord out of our faith, and we expect to see them to come true. If so, here I have one advice for you: bring life to your faith through your works. If you believe that God is going to build your family and marriage relationship this year, work on it. If you believe that God is going to lead you through a certain reconciliation, work on it. Or if you believe that God is going to lead you to participate more in evangelism this year, then work on it. In this way, your works will bring life to your faith, which will bear fruit in your lives. And here we notice that this false view of salvation was trying to separate works from faith. So in verse 18 to 19, James started to address this false separation of works from faith. Now we come to the second part of this text. Works cannot be separated from faith. In verse 18, James introduced an imaginary opponent who says, "You have faith, and I have works." Here, I want to mention that there are different interpretations of the two pronouns, "you" and "I," in this verse. According to my study, I think that the two pronouns, "you" and "I," in this verse are not specifically referring to James and his imaginary opponent, but they are used to distinguish two people or two positions. According to this interpretation, We can rephrase the statement as this. But someone will say, this person has faith, and that person has works. In other words, Zeng's opponent suggests that faith and works are two separate entities, or even two separate gifts. This opponent might even have biblical support from Paul's teaching on in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where faith is mentioned as a particular gift from the Holy Spirit. However, we see the faith discussed by James here is not as a spiritual gift, but as the faith that brings salvation. So in rejecting this view, James says in the latter part of verse 18, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. James' opponent takes faith and works as distinct entities that can be separated from each other. In response, James challenges them to show their faith without works, which is impossible, because faith can only be shown through works. Faith and works are inseparable. They form a unified whole. Where there is faith, there will be corresponding works. Where there are no works, there is no true faith. Fondo and I love to make yogurt at home. One of the most important factors in yogurt making is the bacteria that cause fermentation in the yogurt. You can buy small packages of yogurt with these fermentation bacteria at any grocery store. And then you put one small package of yogurt with bacteria and a bottle of milk into the instant pot with a certain temperature. Most of the times, after 8 to 10 hours, you may have your self-made yogurt. But sometimes, you may also fail. And one of the most possible reasons why you fail is this. Those bacteria in the small package of yogurt are inactive. And you cannot tell if the bacteria are active or not before you make the yogurt, because you cannot see them. The only way to tell these bacteria are active is through the results of the fermentation of the yogurt. Brothers and sisters, our faith is like those fermentation bacteria. It is invisible. It is inside us. Only works can show if it is active or not. So those who separate faith from works are deceiving themselves. In order to make his opponent further see their self-deception, James gives a contrast between them and the demons. In verse 19, James said, "You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder." From a certain perspective, we can see the theology of demons is very correct, right? They fully believe in the existence of the one true God, and they fully believe that this God is totally holy and righteous. So due to their evil actions, they shudder before God. In contrast, those who claim to believe in God but have no corresponding works have a false faith, even inferior to that of demons. Demons at least shudder before God according to their knowledge of God. Whereas these opponents, though they know that God is love, they have no works of love and still think that their faith without works can save them. This is such a profound self-deception. Brothers and sisters, works cannot be separated from faith. This true saving faith must have its corresponding works. Anyone who tries to separate works from faith is deceiving himself. Therefore, let us also be watchful in case we fall into the similar self-deception. After explaining the inseparable relationship between faith and works, James reaches a stunning conclusion. He said, a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. This is very stunning, right? To illustrate this point, He even provides two examples of justification by works. Now we come to the third part of this passage. Works produced by faith bring justification. In verse 20, James said, "Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless?" The word useless means that such faith cannot justify a person before God. And in verse 21, he says, "Was not our father Abraham justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar?" So the event of Abraham offering Isaac was recorded in Genesis 22, where God tested Abraham by asking him to offer his only son Isaac as a sacrifice. Faced with God's command, Abraham chose to obey and offered Isaac. Of course, we know that God was testing Abraham, not actually requiring the sacrifice of Isaac. Later, when Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac, God intervened and provided a ram as a substitute for Isaac. This offering of Isaac can be considered the pinnacle of Abraham's actions, the best of his works in his whole life. James here says that this particular act directly led Abraham to be justified by God. However, this brings to our mind the teachings of Paul in the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, Paul said, "What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." It seems that there is an apparent contradiction between Paul's teaching on justification by faith and James' teaching on justification by works here. And this is also the reason why this text is called the most theological controversial text in the book of James. So how should we reconcile this apparent contradiction? In my study of this text, I realized that one major reason making this text so controversial is related to one word, which appears 12 times in this text. That word is works. In order to solve the contradiction between Paul and James, we need to look more closely to this word, works. Used both by Paul and James, especially to make the distinction between Paul's using of this word on justification by faith and James' using of this word on justification by works here. In Paul's teaching on justification by faith, the word works often appeared with the law as a false way to justification before God compared to the way of faith. So for Paul, the works of the law is a negative term. Its base is man's trust on himself, and it functions as an impossible way to justification. But the works used by James here in his teaching on justification by works refers to actions done in obedience to God in a general sense. Its base is man's trust in God, and it functions as the result of true faith to make the faith complete. So the contents may be the same, the basis and the functions of the word works used by Paul and James on justification are very different. In China, people grow orange both in the north and in south area. These oranges from north and south China look the same from outside. But because they grow in different soil and climates, they taste very different from each other. The two words works used by Paul and James are just like oranges grown in North and South China. Though they look the same, actually they have different bases and functions, which make them have different tastes. Works in Paul's teaching on justification by faith have the taste of pride and self-righteousness, but works in James' teaching here have the taste of humility and trust in God. Once we understand this difference between the two works used by Paul and James, we can solve the apparent contradiction between them. Holding this difference in mind, now let's come back to the story of Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac. Let's take a closer look at the base and function of Abraham's act of offering Isaac. First, let's ask a question. Did Abraham offer Isaac out of his confidence in himself or his faith in God? If it was based on self-confidence, he might have thought this. Now God is calling me to offer Isaac. As a righteous person, I can fully obey God's command by myself, even this challenging command to offer my son. However, the Bible tells us that Abraham's thought was not like this. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19, it says, he considered like God was able even to raise him from the dead. Here we see that Abraham offered Isaac not because of his trust in himself, in his self-righteousness, but because he believed that even if Isaac died, God had the power to raise him from the dead. This was the base of Abraham's act of offering Isaac. It was his faith in God's power. Then let's ask another question. What is the function of Abraham's act of offering Isaac? If it functioned as a means for Abraham to be justified before God, he might have thought this. As a righteous person, now I will manifest my righteousness by obeying God's command of offering my son, through which I can be justified by God. However, this could also not be Abraham's thought, because the Bible tells us that Abraham's faith was counted as his righteousness. Abraham was justified by God through his faith alone, but not by his works. So, we need to ask another question. Now, what is the function of Abraham's act of offering Isaac here? So here we need to know Abraham not only believed that God had the power to raise Isaac from the dead, but also believed in the complete goodness of God. For Abraham, when he received God's command to offer Isaac, he believed that there must be a good purpose behind this seemingly difficult command. So the function of Abraham's action was to demonstrate his full trust in God's goodness and to receive and embrace God's goodness. So James says in verse 22, you see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And in verse 23, James said that with his works, Abraham fulfilled the scripture that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Here we see that Abraham's faith in God was not only the base for his works, but also completed by his works. That's why in verse 24, James reached this conclusion. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. So as we rightly understand the word works used by Paul and James, the apparent contradiction is solved. In this way, James helped us see the full picture of true saving faith, which is both the base of works and completed by works. Brothers and sisters, as we mentioned in our previous sermon on James before, our God would love to test us in our faith journey. Maybe now you are right in the middle of a test from God. If so, I think here Abraham's story can help you strengthen your faith. Because Abraham and we believe the same God, who are not only all-powerful, but all-good. He will use tests to fulfill His good purpose in our lives. Therefore, we have no need to fear while we are in the middle of a test. But we can continue to obey God in our test to demonstrate our faith in Him and to receive His good purpose for us, so that our faith can be completed by our works, that we can also be called a friend of God, just like Abraham. Next, in verse 25, James provides another example of being justified by works. He says, "And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way?" Similar to Abraham, Rahab's action did not come from her self-confidence, but from her trust in God and God's promise. She believed that God had given the land of Canaan to Israel, and God would judge the inhabitants of Canaan through Israel. Moreover, she believed that even in the midst of God's righteous judgment, there would be mercy and salvation from God. Out of such faith, she risked her life to receive messengers and send them out by another way. The function of her actions was not to gain righteousness before God, but to respond to God's righteousness and mercy with faith, that she might receive God's mercy through faith with her works. Therefore, Rahab was also justified by her works that made her faith complete. Finally, in verse 26, James emphasizes once again the importance of works for faith. He says, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." And this calls back to our first point, that is, works bring life to faith. Up to this point, James has clearly explained to us the importance of works to faith. From James' teaching, we learn that works bring life to faith. Works cannot be separated from faith, and works produced through faith bring justification. Therefore, we can say works are so important and necessary to saving faith. We need to pay attention to both faith and its corresponding works, so that we can say to those who try to separate works from faith as James, "Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." And say, "We are justified by works, not by faith alone." It would be great if we could consistently demonstrate our faith through its corresponding works. However, in our life experiences, we often find the inconsistency between our faith and works. When we see faith examples like Abraham and Rahab, we may also desire to trust God in the same way, yet we cannot express our faith like them. So with this inconsistency in our faith journey, where is our way forward? Here we need to understand that true faith will produce corresponding works, but this does not mean that our works are always perfect. We are still in the process of sanctification. As we mentioned earlier, Abraham's act of sacrificing Isaac was the pinnacle of his faith. But Abraham did not possess such a faith from the beginning of his faith journey with God. God developed Abraham's faith over many years, leading him to the point where he could offer Isaac in faith. Therefore, God is the builder of Abraham's faith. In Abraham's faith journey, whenever his faith was weak and insufficient, God lifted him up time and time again. So brothers and sisters, today, when we struggle in this faith journey, when it seems that our works are not inconsistent with our faith, we need to know that we are not the builders of our faith. God is. The Bible tells us that God's eternal Son, Jesus Christ, is the author and perfecter of our faith. Since Jesus has begun his work in us, he will surely bring it to completion. And Jesus Christ is not only the author and perfecter of our faith, but he is also the object of our faith. Jesus lived a perfect life when he was on earth. Jesus died on the cross and was raised by God from the dead 3 days later. God has manifested his love, mercy, righteousness, holiness, goodness, and power through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So our hope is not in our own works, but in the perfect works of Jesus Christ. Through faith, we receive and embrace what God has accomplished in Christ for us. Christ is our forgiveness. He is our righteousness and sanctification. In Christ, we are not only called friends of God, but also called beloved children of God. So with this faith, let's embrace Christ and abide in Christ so that our imperfect works can be sanctified by his perfect works. At last, if you do not know God's Son, Jesus Christ, yet, or have not accepted him as your Savior, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is the only salvation given by God to us, to sinners. The Bible tells us that all people have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God, and therefore live under God's wrath, awaiting his righteous judgment. However, God is not only a righteous God, but also a merciful God. We can see this from the story of Rahab. Rahab was able to be saved from God's judgment because beyond God's righteousness, she saw God's mercy. In faith, she responded to God's mercy, thereby receiving salvation from God. Today, God's mercy is revealed to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. The Bible tells us that God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God gave his Son, Jesus Christ, to us to deliver us from perishing. Therefore, friends, if you want to escape future judgment and have eternal life, accept Jesus. Accept his work on the cross for you. Accept him as your Savior and Lord, that you may receive forgiveness, righteousness, and sanctification from God through and in Jesus Christ. May all glory be to God and his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your mercy and grace shown to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may be saved from sin, from darkness, to your kingdom. And we praise you. We hope we can live this saving faith out, that our works can be sanctified by the works of Jesus Christ and give glory to Jesus Christ and God the Father. Amen.